My clock says 10:32. So I hope we have the recording on. And I'm going to declare this meeting of the California chapter, Library Users of America, in session. Hey. Okay, so at the head table, we have our Vice President, Susan Glass, our Secretary, Debbie Berry, our board member, Pamela Metz, and me. And me sounds like a bullfrog today, so you might not recognize me, but a lot of people say, who is that? Yeah. Okay. Now, I don't know that we have anybody who can run the mic. Do we have a... Reed, you're it. Could you take the mic around and tap people on the shoulder when it's their turn to say their name? This is Reed Strega, ladies and gentlemen, who's the librarian at the Braille Institute. Yay. Yeah. Yay.
Yes, hello. Thank you, Judy. So it's the people, it's everyone in the room? Wonderful. So my name is Reed Strege. I'm the Director of Library Services for Braille Institute here in Los Angeles. And ma'am, you are first here.
Sharon Benefield from LA.
Okay, whoa, little feedback there, sorry.
Rob Turner, Sunnyvale.
Uh-oh. Sorry, I'm getting a little feedback. Here you go, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Thank you. I'm Linda O'Neill from the ACB Capital Chapter, Sacramento.
Great. If you wanted to just pass it to your left, and there we go.
There we go.
Maria Mitchell, San Lorenzo, Bayview Chapter.
Thank you. And back to Tanya.
Tanya Williams, Yosemite Gateway Chapter. I forgot where it was from.
Gail Miller, Yosemite Gateway Chapter.
Okay, I'm moving over to this table, Katrina.
I'm Katrina McCurdy. I live in Newark, California. I'm a member of the Bayview Chapter of CCB. Do I pass it here?
Yes. And Albert, here's the microphone here.
Albert Contreras from Temple City, California, member of the San Gabriel Valley Chapter, CCB, and also a member of BRLC.
Great. If you could just pass it to your right. There you go.
Pam Polgy, president of the San Gabriel Valley Chapter.
There you go.
Laura Russell, I live in Burbank, but I belong to San Gabriel and Greater LA Chapter.
Zena Rubel, San Gabriel Chapter, and also CCB rep for Braille Institute.
Yay. Here you go, Phil.
Philip Ergun from the San Gabriel Valley Chapter.
Okay, thank you, Phil. And we're going back here to Lynn. Here you go.
Lynn Nishihara, Greater LA Chapter, and Glendale Burbank.
Great. And David Jackson.
David Jackson, the San Francisco Chapter.
Linda Perez, San Francisco Chapter.
Thanks, Linda. I'll take it here. And let's see, we're going here. Here you go, sir.
Steve Mendelson, proud member of Kahlua, from San Leandro, member of the Bayview Chapter, and seller of Kahlua 50-50 raffle tickets for anyone who's interested.
And here you go, Bonnie.
Thank you. Bonnie Rennie, Orange County Chapter.
Bob Rennie from the Orange County Chapter.
Okay, we got two more coming around here. Here you go.
Gina McGoy from Bayview Chapter.
Great. And last but not least is Mr. Fort.
Thank you. Hello, this is Steve Fort. Currently a member of the board of directors and Bayview Chapter delegate, and also a member of Kahlua and BRLC.
All right. And the microphone's going back to Judy.
Do we have a second mic floating around somewhere? Oh, right, he was going to get batteries for it. Yep. Okay, Pam is going to hold the mic for me while I read the wonderful minutes. Oh, right, the head table. Just because I introduced you. Here, have a mic.
Oh. This is Debbie Berry, recording secretary of Kahlua, first vice president of Glendale Burbank chapter, and I recently joined the library advisory committee for the Braille Institute, and next week is our open house.
Pass it to Mike next to you.
Mike?
Hi, I am Mike Keithley. I'm just a member, but and also treasurer of BRLC.
Where is it going? Yeah, I'll pass it to Pam.
Pam Mitz, member, treasurer of the Greater LA Chapter.
I'm Susan Glass, Kahlua Vice President, President of the Silicon Valley Chapter, and I'm also ACB's representative on CDAG, which means Collections Development Advisory Group for NLS. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later.
Yeah. All right. Okay, Pam, if you'll hold that, Mike, I'll read the minutes. I do want to thank Debbie for getting the board minutes out so quickly, but I didn't send them to the list, and Debbie had some problems getting it to the list, so I'm going to read them real fast. You know, old minutes are like old minutes, but I'm going to, and sometimes they're just not relevant. But here we go. Kahlua meeting Sunday, February 26th. And so Judy Wilkinson, who's that? Call the Kahlua board meeting to order at approximately 7.03 p.m. Present were Judy, Susan, Pam, Vita, and Debbie. Judy and Pam are on the nominating committee for Kahlua. We have to elect a president, secretary, treasurer. Can everybody hear me okay? And Connie Bateman's board seat. Vita said that she had to make up the report for volunteer hours that Kahlua members served for the month of February. It is important that members submit the number of hours they volunteer at a library and or advisory board to the treasurer Vita by the 25th of each month so that she can send the office an accurate report each month. Vita said, yay, she would be willing to serve another term as treasurer if members would do their part. Pam is able to serve as delegate, and Susan said she would be willing to serve on the nominating committee at the spring convention on Thursday night, April 6th. Judy reminded us that there will be a 50-50 raffle at the convention. Pam has tickets. Steve Mendelson has tickets, Leslie Tom has tickets, and I want to thank Vita for brailing the tickets. Also, I just, in all honesty, have to tell you the guide dog users are also having a 50-50 raffle, so support both. So, Vita will provide the tickets, and Judy said she would braille them, but Vita did that. There was some discussion about filling the Kahlua program at the spring convention besides the business meeting. Judy told us that Judy Dixon has written a book for National Braille Press entitled The Abundant Bookshelf and would be willing to participate by phone at our Friday meeting. And if there's time, she will. This book discusses all means to obtain books electronically. Also, what is happening at Braille Institute, Library, and Advisory Committees will be discussed at our luncheon. We discussed the possibility of providing funds to support the Library Advisory Committee for Northern California. Vita made a motion that we send them $300. It was seconded and approved. The meeting was adjourned at approximately 7:30 p.m.
respectfully submitted, Barry. Yeah. I do want to say that, we're still investigating this. The Northern California has a deafblind member, and we feel it's important to help her be able to do what she needs to do as an advocate and as a committee member. It costs a lot of money for them to have an interpreter for her. They need two interpreters at every meeting because it's very exhausting. And what we decided to send is a mere token, because I think it's $600 an hour that they have to pay. So, but we wanted them to know that we are a library users group, that we care, that everybody is represented, and that we're willing to make this symbolic gesture. Okay, now I'm going to read the treasurer's report. Oh, this is so much fun. Opening balance, $2,266.
Could you repeat that again?
$2,266.09. Forgot the 9 cents. Now, we deposited dues for 26 members. That's 520. We had a donation of $40. And we had we had to pay our Lua dues of $360. We had a bank fee of $12. So the final balance is $2,404.09. So we're doing really well. So I'm going to turn the microphone over to Pam to give the nominating report, and then I'll take it back to conduct the elections.
I have to be careful. She's got a cold.
Yeah.
The nominating committee, we have a slate. Our slate is as follows: Bonnie Rennie for president, Debbie Berry for secretary, Rita Zavali for treasurer, and Connie Bagman for her seat on the board. And that's the slate.
Okay. Bonnie Rennie from Orange County. And so we do have a quorum of Kahlua members. Now, not everybody in the room is a Kahlua member. You could remedy that by joining Vita. I believe we'll be at the luncheon to take dues. And if she isn't at the luncheon, she can find her with the dogs or the San Francisco chapter. But she did say she would be here to collect dues because a lot of people like to pay at the convention. And if you don't, you know, I'm a little concerned that she isn't here. But I think she'll be at the lunch. Good. Okay. So, you know, I'm going to pull up Paul Edwards here. You remember his former? Paul loves to get things done in a reasonably fast way. Does anybody see a reason not to just vote the slate unanimously into office? Did everybody hear me? Okay.
Can I say something?
Of course.
I'm like Albert and Gina and several, you know, we're secretary of this and secretary of that, and I love the job, I really do, but I've been doing it for a while, and I'm going to be termed out next year, I believe. And I'm willing to serve again, but if anybody else would like to run, that would be...
We better do the offices in order then. Okay. So the nominations for president are now open. The candidate from the nominating committee is Bonnie Rennie. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Any other nominations from the floor? Any other nominations from the floor? Susan?
I move that nominations be closed and then Bonnie Rennie be elected by acclamation.
Did I hear Rob second over there? Okay. Oh, yeah,
second.
Well, you will be. No, you can't second. Pam did. This Pam seconded.
About you,
Pam seconded. Okay. So the it was moved and seconded that Bonnie Rennie be acclaimed by acclamation, be elected by acclamation. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Bonnie, congratulations. Reed, could I ask you to take Bonnie the mic so she can say a few words? Reed, are you still here?
Yes.
Could you take Bonnie the mic? Bonnie, would you raise your... You're coming up? Are you... Yeah, you might as well. You're going to have to sit up here from now on.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll start now. Mic's down there to your left, but Susan... Is there...
At the end here.
Okay, I'm going to come to you. No, you're sit where you are there, and I'll bring you the mic. Aw, Carly, you stay. That's all right, I wasn't thinking.
Just come over there.
That's all right.
Hi, thank you, everyone, for your vote of confidence. I was not thinking of seeking this office, but I'll tell you one thing. I love to read talking books. I love the library, and I'm interested in keeping things going to the degree that we have any contributions to make toward that end. I'm going to need some help. I'm not a techno geek, as anyone who knows me knows, but I have ideas, and you have ideas, and I look forward to working together and all of us learning together and doing some work together. Thank you.
Okay, we now have the position of secretary, and Debbie Berry is the nominating committee's nominee. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Any other nominations from the floor? Any other nominations from the floor? We need a motion to close. Pam moves. And did I hear Steve over there?
Yes.
Steve seconds that the nomination be closed and that Debbie be re-voted in by acclamation, but she's given you fair warning that in 2 years she terms out. Okay, so now we have Vita Zavali as treasurer. Any other nomination for floor? Any other nomination for floor? Any other nomination for floor? Don't you? It's so difficult to find somebody who did, and Vita is just so detailed. Can I have a motion to close? Steve moved. Susan seconded. I heard another seconder, but I didn't recognize a voice. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. By acclamation, Vita is reelected treasurer, and she was elected to fill a short term, and she had to, so we now have to elect her to a full term. So, Connie Bateman never is able to come to the South, but Connie is a good board member, and she does, what we ask of her as a board member. Can't ask for much more than that. Oh, I'm not supposed to be proselytizing, am I? Anyway, she is the nominee, but board positions, we need new people on the board. So are there any other nominations from the floor? Any other nominations from the floor? Any other nominations from the floor? A motion, we need a motion. Be closed. Thank you, Susan, and Pam seconds. And by acclamation, Connie Bateman is once again elected as a board member. She may be terming out. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? If I don't do a better job than this. Okay, I have a brief report. And so, Pam, if you would hold my mic for me. Thank you. Do tip it a little bit. Okay. The big event last year, as you know, was around the possible merger
between BRLC and CLUA, and that did not pass. And I was disappointed. I'll say that. But I know that Kahlua will move on and be even more stronger than ever. We are ready to move on. Kahlua's road ahead has challenges. We still have a fairly weak membership. A lot of our members are couples. I think we have 18 of our 26 members are, you know, spouse and couples, and that's wonderful, but you can see that that's a fairly limited pool of members. We have a number of overlapping members with BRLC. Frankly, we just don't have enough other members of the statewide organization, and we know 95% of them read books. So this year, we really must make, you know, kind of part of the whole membership campaign. Kahlua, we need to figure out some way, something to do that will get us more members so that they see that this is their affiliate too. That these library services aren't going to just happen. In fact, Jeff Tom told me the other while back that we get more people to the Capitol when there's an issue surrounding our books than on any other issue. So, and so it doesn't happen by magic, and it doesn't happen for free. So I realize that while we have grown our membership, we still have a lot more to do. I have focused on membership and finances, and I haven't, as you know, done such a good job in creating projects. Although I am pleased to say that finally, you know, these devices that I've got sitting around my house, that we have one device loaned out to one of our members who will return it when the job no longer needs that device for that person. So I'm really pleased that we have a Braille note out there in the world. And we have, you know, a couple of other devices kicking around, and we might have a couple that we can have an auction or something. We'll talk more about that another time. Steve Mendelson has a device that it's a device, it's one of his new Braille devices, and it's not appropriate for him, so we may decide to see if we can find some way to let Kahlua take advantage of that. But we need other projects moving forward, as you know. After 6 years, it is with some sadness that I step down from this position, but I'm thrilled to pass the reins to Bonnie Rennie, and I so thank her for being willing to step up when we asked her. I still will be involved as immediate past president, and that I feel that's an important function for me to play in this affiliate. We have a decent treasury and a hard core group that is enthusiastic and loyal. By the time I leave my other presidency, one of my dearest wishes is to see this affiliate become even stronger, larger, and more vibrant. And thank you for 6 years of letting me serve as your president. Okay. Okay. Susan, we would love to have you talk about what you're doing in May. I'm going to hand you this mic. Yeah, anybody. Okay. Yeah, of course.
I've got a mic over here.
I had mentioned that this is Debbie, again, recording secretary. I had mentioned one problem, especially for the secretary and finances. Next year, for the next 2 years, the convention is going to be up north. And up till now, we have gone to most of them, but it's like, you know, the rent goes up and our money has gone down since, you know, Bill has been retired. And, you know, we've been able to you know, we've been able to come, and I plan on coming the next year and the year after. I like Sacramento. I like taking the train up there. But the question is for me or anybody, you know, that's serving as an officer, you know, that is a problem, and there's going to have to be some way of recording the meetings so that, you know, people that are unable to come to the conventions can still hear it and be vital members of Kahlua.
This is being recorded. So at some point, Susan, I'm going to pass it to you.
Did somebody, Bonnie, did you also want?
Say something?
Oh, no, I just want, I have an extra mic here.
Okay. I was just going to follow up on Debbie's comment and suggest one thing that Kahlua could consider doing, you know, if we wanted to, and I know we don't have a huge treasury, but we could consider funding an officer each year for whom there's the considerable cost in travel, because I hear what you're saying, money's limited, and BRLC has just agreed to fund Linda Perel as our delegate to the ACB. It's possible for us within our affiliates to help our members through our treasury when we need to, especially officers and especially when travel's involved. I'm not recommending we do it. I'm just putting the suggestion on the table.
Anybody else wish to speak? Any other person from the floor? Okay, Susan, I'm going to pass it back to you to discuss what you're doing in May.
I want to make you some chicken soup. You're really suffering here. Poor pain. Oh, gosh. So I am, at the request of, as you know, we're all CCB members, we're ACB members, American Council members, and at the request of Kim Charlson last August, I was appointed to fill a term that had been served by Steve Spiker, whom you all may know. He's quite beloved in ACB, and he passed away last year. But he was ACB's representative on the Collections Development Advisory Group for NLS. It's called CDAG. And so I have been asked to be ACB's representative. And let me tell you a little bit about what this group does and who else is on the CDAG group committee, and then how you can help and how you can be involved. So CDAG is comprised of members of the NLS library staff from all over the country. There's a northern regional representative, a southern, a westerner, a midlands, and so on. And there are also representatives from consumer organizations. So, for instance, I am representing ACB. There's a representative from the Blind Veterans Association, a representative from the National Federation of the Blind, and representatives at large, or readers at large, who come from the various regions of the United States, Midlands, Northern, Western, Southern, and so on. What this group does is, on even numbered years, or is it odd numbered? I always get this backwards. There's one year where they meet in Washington, D.C. at the NLS headquarters for 3 days and talk about collections. And there's another year where they meet by phone. And we had our phone conference in the fall of last year, and we're going to be meeting in Washington, D.C. at NLS in May. They've been doing a lot of construction on the premises, and so they've had to move the date around a little bit, lots of building changes and so on. Now, NLS, as we all know, NLS and BARD, serve a general blind and visually impaired readership, which means we provide, we're not a university textbook kind of library, although you can get some pretty heady stuff and intellectual stuff if you wish. NLS is a general collection. We have children, we have Gothic, we have mystery, we have biography, we have hobby, we have books for women, we have psychology. You know the drill. You know what's out there. But we only have those collections because readers provide the library with feedback. And the charge of the Collections Development Committee is to provide feedback to NLS librarians regarding what we, the consumers, want to read, what formats we want to see it in, whether we're wanting more recording, whether we want books to come in as series, so that in other words, when you order a book, a talking book on a cartridge, you might get five or six from that author. If it's a series, you know, imagine Harry Potter or something, for instance. Whether you whether you are happy with cartridges, whether you're preferring, you know, more hard copy Braille. Well, as you might imagine, NLS is also enduring tight budgets, and there's been some trimming back of what can be produced in Braille in the coming year, and what can be produced in audio, although we're doing better with audio, and we're also doing better because we can work with commercial audio. The area where the library is not cutting back, I'm pleased to say, is children, because we know that children need. And so there's not going to be any kind of cut there. But what I do, and what I'm inviting you to talk with me about, is I take your requests either by email or by phone conference or in May verbally. I will take them to this conference. And if there's something about our NLS or BARD service that you really like and want to see continued, or you would really like to see tweaked, or you would really like to see changed, or you have something to say about the mailing time, whatever it is that you would like, or you want more books in the detective and the mystery category, or you want more books in, you know what I'm saying. If you have a preference and you have something, you have a concern, a need, a critique, anything that you would like me to carry to the meeting in May, which is the week of May 24th, I know that because it's my birthday, I would be very happy to take your requests. I can give you my cell phone number and my email contact, but also if there's anything that you would like to discuss at this meeting, I'm ready to take notes, or if there's questions I can answer. So I will hand back the mic.
So I guess, can we get a, Reed, can I ask you once again to do my, and you thought we invited you here, you know, because you're a big muckety muck at the library. We just needed a mic runner.
I'm happy to do it. Did someone have a question? Yes, here we go.
Hi. Maureen from Berkeley. My question is this, and it may not be, I don't know, a popular sentiment, but I still wanted to bring it up. When I honestly ask myself, how are you reading books and what is your favorite way to read it? These days, I have to say that I am reading more Kindle than anything else because I'm one of the few people who doesn't mind electronic voices at all. Now, what I want to ask is, first of all, where are we going in terms of the update in working with commercial vendors? And I really wanted to ask, you know, at what point is a specialty service like this needed, and at what point is it not? And how can we maximize our productivity by working together? Is there a way to work together with providers like Kindle?
I actually don't have an answer, but I think this is an excellent point for discussion because it's come up on the call, and I think everyone has to look at the future for that. There had been some difficulties getting Kindle books to work well. That's something that's still in process. I do not have an answer for you, but I'd like to hear from people in this room because I'd like to bring this question to the table when I go. I'm not dodging your question. I want to be able to take information. I think you've opened a good discussion.
Anyone else with a question?
Okay, it looks like we have a couple of questions in the back, and then right here, I'm going to go ahead and put this in your right hand.
Yes, this is Maria, and I have a feeling that I'm one of probably the only person who's going to be interested in this specific subject. But I like your Russian books. I'm trying to maintain my original language. I'm the only one left of my family, and it's not something I want to lose. So I'm wondering if you can tell me how those books are chosen, and is there any way that I can have some input? For example, I'd really dearly love to have the Bible in Russian available on the NLS. It hasn't been thus far. What would be a way to approach that? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm asking specifically about Russian books. I want to see the Russian Bible on the NLS. I'm wondering whom to ask.
Okay, from Evers to Tinkers to Chance.
It's like that game of telephone. What do you get when you get to the end of it? You know, my goodness. So the situation is that NLS has a world languages collection. We used to say foreign languages, but, you know, we say world languages. And they've often, they're often languages, language books are developed more through textbooks, you know, outlets like APH. But I can tell you that you're not alone and that people are making such requests. And what you do is you tell me, I write a letter on your behalf. How many other people in this room would, you know, have interest in language books specifically? Can I just hear a yes? In other words, you want world language books. You want more available as general readers. Okay, so I'm going to multiply that a little bit so I can, because, and I will, Maria, what I'm going to do is say that this is really important to you, that it's a family, you know, interest that you want to develop. And I'm going to find out what Russian collection is available so far, when the last time it was developed, what's going on, and I'm going to try to get you some answers because I don't have them. So part of what I want to do is be an ambassador who asks questions. It's all right with you if I give them your first name and just say that we met here and all that?
Yes.
Okay. Just give me some time and I'll get back to you because I'm interested. Yeah. Okay, good. So I'm going to say that we have a member who wants this. What's the situation? What's our funding? I will give you a report.
Okay.
We could do that through CLU or the BC or something.
Yeah.
Looks like we have three more questions in the back table here. We're going to go ahead and start with Lynn.
Thank you. Hi, this is Lynn Ishihara, Greater LA Chapter and Secondary for Glendale Burbank. I am not a Kahlua member yet. However, like you guys, I love books, and I also love music. My problem is that I cannot find scores that are in large print for classical music. For example, right now I'm doing Haydn's Mass in the Time of War. You've got 40 pages of music there. And I was wondering, is there any way to get large print music? I think the copyright thing is gone because the guy's like 300 years old. But the publishing houses that I've called say, oh, I'm sorry, we don't have that. And with all the talent in this room, I was wondering if you could help me find large print. Thank you.
It's my pleasure because music is so dear to my heart. Bard has lots and lots of Braille music scores and lots of audio scores. I don't know what the... I'm sorry I'm saying I don't know so much, but I'm new on this committee. I don't know. I'm going to find out. I don't know what that situation is, but it's a huge need So many of us are musicians in education, and I don't know if NLS has been looking to schools like Juilliard and others where they have blind students, but music is a generalist interest. And if we don't have large print scores, we need to have them. And so let's zoom into the top of the list here. Judy, how can I give people answers? Because I want to start working on this.
Just one second, Albert. Susan, write answers to the list.
Okay, I will put the answers to these questions on the Clua list. So you're okay if I tell you I don't know as long as I give you an answer, right? Okay.
Good. Go ahead, Albert.
Okay. We have a couple.
There are people ahead of you, Albert, but we'll get
to you. Okay, let's go with Mr. Jackson here in the back.
Hello, this is David Jackson from San Francisco. Susan, I wanted to ask you, I've been reading a lot of talking books lately, and I noticed that NLS has been doing outsourcing with Hachette and Audible.
Yes.
And is NLS, are they going to keep recording themselves? Are they going to do their own work, or are they going to continue to do this?
They are going to do their own work, and they're going to outsource. And I think that part of the reason for that is, building a wider base of possibilities for us, because we can make commercial audio available. If you're about to say something about how good their narrators are and how we want that to continue, would you say that, please?
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially why. I'm just curious because I'm seeing more and more of that, and I'm hoping that NLS will do their own recording and keep their folks because there are some really wonderful narrators.
The current plan.
I don't want them to go away.
The current plan is to continue recording their own books and keep their own narrators and keep the budget for that. The decision to go with some commercial audio was to help get some books into the collection a little bit more rapidly, because NLS wants to stay abreast of the most contemporary, reading the way you can with Bookshare. So that's the rationale. My understanding is that nothing is going away. It's supposed to be an add to.
Yes, this is Reed again. Sorry to piggyback, but that is also my understanding from NLS. So I was happy to hear that as well. And we have a question in the back from Ms. Perel.
Nice to meet you.
Okay. All right. Actually, I'm going to be a little piggy and ask two questions. Number one, did Martha Harmon Pardee get her job back? Do we know that?
I do not know that.
We do not know. Okay. Question number two, I ask this to anybody who will listen. I would love it if Bard would set up on the website a feature that you could add a book that's in production to your wish list and that they would alert you when it becomes available. Because I can win week after week after week. You don't know how long it took to get Ann Patchett's Commonwealth come through after it said it was in production. And it just, it would be lovely if we could have that little alert feature and know that something you're dying to read is available.
So written. As soon as I'll give this mic to Pam in a sec and type it in. That's a wonderful idea. So you want, when you have a book on your wish list and it's in production, you want a personal notification. Hey, it's ready. Right? So you're ready. Okay, so you know it's out there. Got it.
Okay. And I'm sorry, was it Albert? Yes. Yes, Mr. Contreras has a question here.
Okay, I'm going to make a comment to the one question asked about music, and then I have another question about another old book for a friend. The comment I have is that in the October issue of one of the best Library of Congress publications called Update, there's actually two of them, Update and News, they mention that there is a new augmentation of the music collection. They are trying to get all of the music scores digitized because there's so many of the Braille that are going bad. The copies are going bad. And I'm not sure if that has anything to do with the large print, but if anybody wants to check, you can contact the National Library Service in Washington, and they can probably give you more. But if you check in that issue, it was a very interesting article. Those two publications tell all about the latest developments that are going on with the Library of Congress. That's News and then one called Update. The other question I had is with respect to another old book. One of my friends has been looking for a book. It's available on Voyager, but I wish that they would somehow get this old book and put it on a digitized version so we could all read it. It was a book called A Pearl Buck Christmas. And my friend, Patty Aminoff, who is Pam Polly's sister, really, her twin, loves this book. And we would sure love to be able to get this book and other old books that have been done. One book I want to reread again is A Song of the Young Century. So some of these old books would be great if they could please re-record them and try to get the original readers, because the original readers were great.
We can
but they still have some of the master copies of the books. I believe they have the master copies of these
that
old
actually,
books.
That is a project in the works, I'm happy to say. For instance, one of my all-time favorite narrators growing up was Alexander Scorby. And he could do the Holy Bible and Crime and Punishment and such like nobody else. And those are being remastered. There is work in that direction being done. Not everything, but I'll take the titles back. I can certainly put in the request.
Are there any other questions from the floor? There are, excuse me. Yes, one more.
So regarding this is Maureen again, regarding what Albert just brought up, how can we keep up with this? Because I had been asking that question too regarding a book From Here to Eternity that Bert Blackwell had read, and the new rereading is, I hate to say it, but compared to the old one is just even almost unacceptable. But I want to know, how do we keep up with that? How do we know if our favorite books are being remastered?
I think the best way to start, and I'd appreciate input from others, start by contacting your local NLS librarian. You know, we each have our liaison librarians. And start locally and find out if that person knows where that is in the process. Start there. To my knowledge, there is no... You know, in talking book topics and stuff, I haven't seen, you know, any articles that come out and say the following books have been remastered. That might be a cool thing to do. Yes, of course. But I would start locally and then do that as well. Yeah.
Okay, are there any other questions? Microphone is back with Judy. Oh, wow. Okay. Yes, so thank you again. My name is Reed, R-E-E-D, and my last name is Strege, S-T-R-E-G-E. And thank you very much for inviting me to come to your meeting. So I'm getting a little bit of feedback from the PA. I really enjoy hearing your comments and questions. These are all things that I'm interested in as well. I have had the opportunity to meet some of you. I'm new to Braille Institute, and I'm new to this field, and I'm new to NLS. And so it's been a very exciting first 10 months or so for me. just by clapping or a show of hands, how many of you are Braille Institute patrons? Where are my Southern California folks? Wonderful. So it's about half. This is a really exciting time for Braille Institute. We will be celebrating our centennial in 1919, 2 years from now. We will be 100 years old. Only 5% of American businesses or nonprofits last 100 years, and that's going to be a major focus of the next couple years. Our president, Peter Bindnick, is basing our centennial around the theme of preparing for our second century of service, and he's using this opportunity for us to think about how we can really get ready for the next 100 years. He is quite serious about putting our organization on a path to last another 100 years. So we are thinking big picture, long term. And as far as the library goes, we have a couple of really interesting things coming up. And I hope, if nothing else, I would really love to speak to each of you at another point about some of these changes, because I'm just loving the feedback that I'm hearing, that I'm getting here. And I certainly welcome all kinds of inputs and comments about our future. I think the really big changes that we see coming on the horizon that we need to figure out as a group, and I hope that we can work together on this with your group, are changes in technology. The thing that is most intriguing to me 5 to 10 years out is the quality of synthetic voice. Will it ever get good enough to the point where user groups like yours like it and want to use it? Because as you know, if, as someone mentioned earlier, if you can develop a tolerance for synthetic voice, the amount of content that's easily available goes up quite a bit through providers such as Bookshare. Also, by a show of hands or claps, is anyone a Bookshare user? So one of the things that we are thinking about doing, and this is California-wide, which is very exciting, in partnership with my counterpart, Mike Marlin, at the State Library, who I'm sure some of you know, is to do a California-wide pilot project to begin to provide free Bookshare licenses to some of our users, just to see how it goes. We cannot afford to buy everyone in California a Bookshare license, probably. I would love to do that eventually, and maybe if it works, we could begin to fundraise on that premise. But what I don't want to do is race down the path of new technology so quickly that, one, people who like good old-fashioned Braille or audiobooks or feel like they're left out or left behind, or two, that we move so fast before the quality of synthetic voice gets to the point where it's good enough for people to enjoy. So we want to move at the right pace, but I take very seriously the challenge of the inequity in print materials versus Braille and audio materials. As you know, NLS last year had their best year ever. They produced about 3,000 titles, and that was them working at full capacity. And they're a wonderful group there, and they do a wonderful job, and their quality is so high. Their narrators, I've been able to go and see the way that their narrators produce the book, and it's books, and it's very, very impressive. But 3,000 titles is, it's not even a drop in the bucket compared to what's available to those like me who are fortunate enough to be cited. And that inequality is what drives me, and it's what drives Braille Institute to think of different ways to expand the content. So that's a conversation we're going to be having quite a bit over the next 5 to 10 years. As you know, NLS is also in the process of beginning to do research about their next generation player. They actually started with some research at Braille Institute. they hired a NLS hired a consultant from USC to come to speak to some of our readers about their preferences. No, I'm just getting a little bit of a hiss. I hope it's not bothering anyone else. Okay. And I was really encouraged that they decided to start in that way with user preference and user research, because I think that's how everything has to start. And, you know, 10 years from now, there's going to be a new machine. And what is it going to look like? Honest to goodness, the folks at NLS, they at this point, they do not know. And that's when I think groups like yours can really get in early on the ground floor and advocate for what it is that you want. And I think one of the things I'd like to do with my organization and with Mike Marlin up north at the State Library is start to flex our muscle a little bit as Californians. We are by far the largest group of readers in the country, especially when you put North and South and San Francisco and Fresno together. And I would like to make sure that our voices are heard in this process as this new technology is developed basically from scratch. And whether you, for example, do you want this machine to be voice activated? Do you want to be able to talk to it? Do you want to have it talk to you? The form factor, the size. Do you want it to be a combination of a refreshable Braille display and an audiobook talker and an audiobook machine? These are the types of things that they're trying to figure out right now. And I think that through your group, you can actually, if you are committed to it, you can actually have impact on these decisions. And I will certainly help you with that. Obviously, I'm new to this field, so I don't have a lot of weight to throw around. Many of you in this room have been working in this field a lot longer than I have. But I do, in my position, get a chance to speak with these folks fairly regularly. And as Southern California, by the number of readers, we are the largest branch in the country. So we do get, more than our fair share of speaking up and voice. So I hope that you will take the opportunity with me. And just because, for those of you who don't live in Southern California, that's fine, too. I'd love to talk to you about this as well. Another thing that I'm really excited about, based on what you were talking about earlier, is I would really like Braille and California to start producing more of our own audio content ourselves for the network, because the technology and the technology that you need to record high-quality audio is so much better and cheaper than it was just 5-10 years ago. We're getting to the point now where we could start to record our own books. And in fact, at Braille Institute, we recently recorded a children's book on our own, which is going to be added to the NLS collection. So for those, I'd like to get to the point someday where, for example, if someone wanted more Russian materials, maybe we could find a Russian speaker who lives in Los Angeles to come into our studio and just record some. I mean, obviously the Bible is a good example. That would be a huge project because it's very long, but that's the kind of capacity I'd like to build at Braille Institute, almost like an on-demand audio and printing capability, because the cost is coming into our, as someone said earlier, I can't remember what was said, but we are having our open house next week, Friday, April 14th is our big open house. For any of you who are in the area still at that time, we would love to see you at Braille Institute. But other than that, please call or email me anytime. I'd love to hear from you. I love hearing from readers and users and just talking about books and what we can do, because the only way that these positive changes are going to happen is if we advocate, and I promise I'll partner with you as best I can in those efforts. So again, I really thank you for that. Here you go, Judy.
You've got another mic, though? Okay. Let's. Anybody have a question for Reed about his work? Great.
Bonnie, down here. Oh, you're president. Here you go, Bonnie.
I'm hoping you will give your contact information verbally for the recording as well. But I noticed that you did a survey, and my computer died before I could send it to you. That's what I get. But I'm wondering if that survey has been completed, because you had some interesting and kind of innovative things on there. Yeah, are you taking input on it still, and do you have any feedback at this time for us about it?
I do. It's a great question, and I really appreciate those who were able to respond. There was some really interesting answers, and the good thing is that most of them clustered around similar themes, which were exactly the types of things I've heard just this morning so far about more content. Someone did mention that they really dislike synthetic voice at this point, and a lot of the responses were from Northern California as well, so I forwarded them on to my friends there. But yeah, I really, having user input about this stuff is just vitally important. I was fortunate to go to the NFB meeting here in LA in the fall, and the California convention, and boy, no matter what they were talking about, each one of their speakers was saying about the need to make sure to give input about these decisions that are being made on behalf of reading technology and readers. So that's something that's very important to me. And yes, I'm still taking survey responses if anyone's. Okay, does anyone else have any questions? Probably put everyone to sleep with that. I think it's exciting. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and give the mic back to Judy. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey. I hate to put you on the spot, but did Rob give an update in BRL about Bookshare? Could we have, but Rob, could I ask you to do your annual update on Bookshare? Could someone...
Oh, thank you, Reed and Judy. Let's see. You know, there's a lot of what's happening at Bookshare right now is concern about our funding. So I want to encourage anyone who is a Bookshare user to, they've been sending emails, so please, if you're able to, respond to those emails by contacting your either the senator or Congress person and just let them know that you find Bookshare to be a valuable service. And so we're just hoping that our Office of Special Education Programs, our OSEP grant we call it, we're just hoping that they give us another 5 years. And so that's been a focus. Our collection, the Bookshare collection, continues to grow. I haven't really had a chance to look at the homepage lately, but I know we're somewhere in the area of 550,000 books. We celebrated last year the fact that we've had 10 million downloaded books, so we're pretty happy about that. Yeah, that's right. So Bookshare itself, one of the things that we're doing, and you're going to be seeing these changes in the next few weeks as we move forward, but we're implementing kind of a new way to search. So most of you are familiar with our quick search at the top of the page. It says enter title, author, or ISBN. So what'll happen is you'll do that, and then at that point, when the search results come back, along with the traditional results, Above those, you're going to see authors listed. And so if you want to choose a particular author to narrow the search even further, you're going to be able to do that. We're also adding categories. So let's say that you've done a search and you see a bunch of books, or you got more results than you expected, and you know the book is in a particular category. Well, you'll be able to use that. There'll be some check boxes, and you'll be able to choose which category or categories you only want to filter by. And when you choose those, that'll refine the search results even further. We'll be adding language, a language filter to that as well. One of the things that I notice as a blind quality assurance engineer with Bookshares, a lot of the things are geared toward the sighted. You know, they spend a lot of time with the page has certain colors and so forth. But one of the requests that we've had is that we have cover images of the books, and so they're working. That's another feature. Another area that we're working on very seriously is the reading list feature. And we're going to have a situation where our special collections are actually going to be reading lists. It's a little bit more, it doesn't impact the user so much as it does the at this point, with reading lists, the engineering department has to be involved quite a bit in these setting up the special collections and so forth. But once we finish with this this project, our collection development department will actually be able to do all of it. So they'll have a lot more control over the reading lists and the special collections. It'll just give them a lot more flexibility in terms of adding and taking away and all that. We continue, as a part of our global literacy, we continue to work on Born Accessible, which is basically stating that when a publisher produces an EPUB 3 or an EPUB book, probably EPUB 3 at this point, that it will be accessible from without us having to do anything to it. So in a lot of cases, you'll be able to download that format with a reader like QRead or iBooks, whatever your platform of choice is, and the book should be accessible, meaning that ideally it'll have image descriptions, obviously page, or maybe not page navigation, but navigation by chapter, subchapter, or sections, and so forth. So that's an ongoing project, and we're getting the certification program up and running. We continue to work on MathML. That's a project I've been talking about for the last couple of years. Obviously, things are moving more slowly than we'd like, but one of the issues that we have to deal with is we have to work with some of the vendors who develop these DAISY readers so that they'll be able to accommodate the MathML. And I guess that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you.
There it is. What a nice program, huh? Yeah. And so if you're staying for lunch, we will be starting our lunch pretty much at noon, because our afternoon session starts promptly at 1:30. So thank you so much for bringing. Oh, Steve Mendelson, would you say where you are?
Yes, I'm here at the back row.
And he's got 50-50 raffle. Please buy them, $5 for six. And Pam has some up here. And Vita isn't here, so I wouldn't want anybody not to be able to pay dues. So I have my Braille device up here, and I have a pocket that can hold money. So, and you can trust me. So if anybody...
And when is the drawing at the banquet?
The drawing is going to be at the banquet. So Jim, you have to send somebody to the banquet with your ticket if you're not going.
Okay.